Welcome to Cannabis Connection World Podcast, where cannabis connectors meet and discuss the gospel truth of cannabis, the plant connecting the planet.
In this episode, Cannabis Class, I will teach you about the status of the fight to decriminalize possession of cannabis for the entire state. You will hear the second part of my interview with Attorney Gerald Griggs, VP of the NAACP for the city of Atlanta, and how he fought for the Cartersville 70 in court. And finally, I will review more events coming up in the state on the Cannabis Connection calendar. So sit back and relax as I serve you this cannabis content rolled up perfectly for your consumption.
Cannabis Class.
On this episode of Cannabis Class, you will learn what cities and towns already have changed the punishment for possession of less than an ounce of cannabis in the state of Georgia, and what the status is of the fight for it to be changed statewide. On the first two episodes of Cannabis Class Connection, I interviewed Senator Harold Jones, who is the author or co-author of Senate Bill 105, which reduces penalties for the possession of less than 0.5 ounce of marijuana from a maximum penalty of up to 1 year in jail and $1,000 fine to a fine not to exceed $300. This bill passed out of the Senate Judiciary Committee on February 28, 2017. The Senate will vote on this bill in the current session happening now. In that interview, Senator Jones encourages us to call, show up, and email your elected officials, senators, your House representatives, and even your local district attorneys to tell them how you want them to vote on this issue. Clarkston became the first city in the state to declassify the possession of less than an ounce of cannabis in July of 2016. The Clarkston City Council voted unanimously to approve the most liberal marijuana ordinance in the state, reducing fine from up to $1,000 to a $75 fine for possessing less than an ounce, and eliminating the possibility of jail time for breaking municipal law. Mayor Ted Terry has argued that drug law enforcement disproportionately affects lower-income communities and communities of color. He quotes, "As the state's hotbed for refugee resettlement, Clarkston is one of the most diverse cities in the state. According to census statistics, the city of 12,000 is nearly 60% Black and 53.5% foreign-born." He goes on to say, "We're not saying it's legalized, but we're also saying we don't want to ruin someone's life or drain their bank account for what could be considered a simple mistake." Despite Clarkston's votes, it is still up to the discretion of law enforcement officers whether a person faces charges of violating the city's ordinance or state law. When officers come across someone who is in possession of less than an ounce of pot, they can treat it either way. While the decision reduces the penalty for a city violation, a person charged with a state offense could face higher fines and jail time. According to the state law, possession of less than an ounce of marijuana is a misdemeanor, punishable by up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine. The council was hoping that this philosophy will have a ripple effect on local governments throughout the state. And it did. Even more reason that a statewide bill should be passed instead. Because who followed Clarkston's lead just over a year later? Atlanta. In October of 2017, the city of Atlanta passed a public safety ordinance created by city council member of District 7 and mayoral candidate at the time, Kwanzaa Hall, which declassifies the crime of possessing less than an ounce of the plant to a ticketed offense. In the city of Atlanta, over 75% of the arrests made for simple possession of marijuana were Black males. We all know everyone smokes weed, and that Black and brown people are not the ones even growing it. So why are they the largest group of people being arrested for it? Obviously, statistics like these played a part in the decision that took over a year to make. Cannabis advocates rallied for the public support for the bill, and with the help of several organizations and determined citizens, the city council listened to the overwhelming majority of their constituents that wanted to keep young people out of jail. 2 weeks later, Alderman Van Johnson, member of Savannah's city council, announced that he wants the state's fifth largest city to join the capital in significantly lowering cannabis penalties. Even police officers agree that allowing police to go after violent criminals and not fill our jails and prisons with nonviolent criminals is a good thing. Taxpayers prefer not to waste their tax dollars on these petty crimes. Right now, legislators are in session at the Capitol and will be voting on whether or not to legalize medical marijuana cultivation and distribution in the state, as well as whether or not to legalize hemp cultivation within the state. And, of course, we know that there's a statewide declassification bill for possession of cannabis. So right now is the time to contact your elected officials and tell them how to vote. The people have already spoken. Make sure your legislators are listening. And if they are not listening, let them know they will be replaced. With this possible timeline becoming a reality in the state of Georgia, now is the time to educate our people on the business opportunities that will arise in the cannabis industry. Whew, that's enough for today's class. So up next, I will have the second half of my interview with Attorney Gerald Griggs, the attorney for the Cartersville 70, a group of 70 young adults arrested in Bartow County at a New Year's Eve party for possession of marijuana. He is hoping that this case and this town can be the epicenter for why change needs to be made in our state law regarding possession of cannabis. Now we will hear part two of my interview with Attorney Gerald Griggs, speaking about the Cartersville 70 and what he and a team of lawyers did to get most of their cases dismissed.
Next, I really wanted to discuss your involvement with the Cartersville 70. Can you tell us about your involvement with the Cartersville? Let's start with, what is the Cartersville 70? Can you explain to us what that is?
Sure. On New Year's Eve, in the early morning hours of New Year's Eve, there was a phone call to police for alleging gunshots, and the police were dispatched to a neighborhood around Kane Street. When they got to that neighborhood, they didn't find any gunfire. They actually found fireworks being shot off. And they were riding around the neighborhood, and they said that they smelled the odor of marijuana emanating from a house on Kane Drive. So they approached the house, and they detained four individuals on the porch. As they got onto the porch, they said they smelled more marijuana, and so they detained everyone in the house and went in the house. It was a house party that was occurring for Deja Hurd's 21st birthday, my client Deja Hurd. Her 21st birthday, and they detained everybody in the house. They searched the house without a warrant, and they ultimately arrested 70 individuals for the possession of a misdemeanor amount of marijuana. After they had detained and searched, they got a search warrant, and then they went into the rest of the house. They found three guns, two of which were lawfully registered to one of the members of the party, and the other one was registered to the homeowner. They also found illegal contraband, allegations of illegal contraband on an individual who was outside of the house, two small bags of cocaine. I got involved when I got a phone call the next day asking for the assistance of the Georgia NAACP. So I went up to Cartersville, met with 17 of the Cartersville 70 that had been released on bond. They had been in jail for about 24 hours. The rest of them still in jail. And we started working on getting them out, bonded out, with the assistance of Raquel McGee and Reverend Combs with the local NAACP. And we started elevating the story because the story had been put on the news that there was a major drug bust in Cartersville and 70 hoodlums had been arrested, you know, with guns and drugs, you know, how they usually sensationalize it. So we had to start a campaign to clear their names, and that's where the hashtag, the Cartersville 70, was born.
Thank you for clarifying, because obviously the newspaper article was not accurate. So thank you for that. And so what is the current status of those arrested or those that were released from arrest? What is the status of the case now?
Okay, well, after we got everybody released from custody, we started working with the district attorney and the sheriff to find out what actually happened and then actually, you know, negotiate with the district attorney to get her to drop the charges because, you know, I'm a criminal defense attorney, so I know the Georgia law clearly on possession, and you cannot actively possess such a small amount of marijuana jointly with 70 people. That's just impossible. So we were able to get her to see that the factual basis for the arrests were invalid, and she ultimately dismissed 64 of the 65 charges. Now, there were 70 individuals charged, you know, 65 of which were adults. Five of which were juveniles. The juvenile charges have also been dismissed. So there's only one individual facing charges, and that was only for what that person allegedly threw down when they were outside of the house. But right now, The people that were arrested, their case has been dismissed. We're in the process of getting their records expunged, and we're exploring civil rights claims for a 1983 violation of the Civil Rights Act against the Sheriff's Department for a false arrest, improper illegal search, and some allegations of police brutality that occurred allegedly in the jail.
Wow. Let me ask you, why did you decide to get involved with this case? I understand you explained that the owner of the house, his daughter, who was your direct client, and then you were retained by the rest of the individuals that were arrested that night?
I got involved for pro bono. What happened was I received a phone call from Ms. Heard, and her daughter actually rented the house. It was an Airbnb, so they rented it. So her mother got in touch with me. I went up there and told them I would volunteer my services pro bono. I would get together a legal team to help them because these are young people between the ages of 15 and 25. I knew what the effects of a marijuana arrest or a drug conviction on their record would happen. So I volunteered my services as well as 40 to 50 other lawyers, and we're still in the process of getting more when we were able to negotiate the charges to go away. But we understood that it was time for us to use our gifts that had been given to us for the greater good of the public. So we volunteered our services. And the reason I got involved is simply because, you know, a young person saddled with a conviction would destroy the rest of their life. And you know, I became an attorney to help people. And so I saw, you know, nothing better than to get involved as an attorney, but also to bring the NAACP in to provide for the advocacy and the activism that was necessary to change the narrative in this case.
Wow. Thank you, Attorney Briggs. It's individuals like yourself and these other attorneys that volunteered their time and their services to help these young adults in their time of need. And we really appreciate everything that you do. It takes warriors like you and the other individuals that you have involved to take a stand for what they see as a violation of civil rights. And to be clear, everyone that was arrested was not someone of color. Is that correct? I mean,
no.
It was a mixed background of individuals that were actually arrested that night. Is that correct?
That's correct. It was a reflection of what America looks like. And now, majority of them were African American, and there was some distorted narrative going on in Bartow County that the NAACP was only going to represent black people. And let's be clear. The National Association for the Advancement of Colored People represents all people of all colors. And So we wanted to make sure that we were intentional in representing everyone so that narrative will be dispelled. The NAACP fights for civil rights of all Americans, and that's one of the main reasons why we took on the Cartersville 70 case.
Absolutely. Just like everything else, the NAACP has to change with the times. And obviously when the NAACP was developed, some decades ago, it was focused on the civil rights of people of color because they were being violated so terribly. But now in the America that we live in today, anybody's civil rights can be violated, no matter their color. And so I'm so grateful to you and the individuals and the NAACP for recognizing that and recognizing that it goes beyond just color, but understanding that the civil rights of individuals of any color is violated, that somebody needs to stand up for them.
Exactly, especially in the age of Trump.
Yes, I can't even believe, I can hardly believe I'm witnessing everything that is happening these days. So now we know the status. Is there anything that us as citizens, individuals in Bartow County or beyond, but when people hear this story, what else can we do? Is there something else that us as individuals, citizens of the state, can do to help within the efforts of getting justice for these individuals?
Yes. Well, what you can do is to continue to use the hashtag Cartersville70 to highlight the inequities in the system and to call into question the Bartow County Drug Task Force, because I'm hearing stories from Bartow County that they've been doing this for a long time. And so it's time to change the policies and procedures up there, and they need to continue to feel the immense pressure of this state. We also are going to have a town hall on the 29th in Bartow County to discuss, it's going to be at the Bartow Civic Center, to discuss our drug laws and our drug enforcement in the state of Georgia. We want Bartow County to be ground zero for the decriminalization of marijuana and the changing of drug policy and procedures in Georgia. Because, you know, I don't really care what the Department of Justice says under Jeff Sessions. We can control what happens in Georgia, and Bartow County needs to be ground zero for that.
Okay, great. So January 29th, it'll be coming up town hall meeting. And another thing that when I interviewed Senator Jones, he gave the example of also calling your local district attorney.
Yes.
Because they are an elected official as well, and telling them how you feel about certain issues. So is that something else that we can do as individuals, is contacting our local district, no matter what county or city you live in Georgia?
Definitely. And that was one of the reasons why we were able to have justice in this case. You know, I personally called Rosemary Green myself, and we were able to negotiate and work through things and talk about the facts, and she ultimately saw the correct perspective of the law and the facts in this case. So I would advise any person that has concerns about a small marijuana possession to contact their local district attorney, or you can contact the Prosecution Council of Georgia, PAC. They are the regulatory agency over all the district attorneys in all 159 counties in Georgia. So most counties have their own district attorney, but some counties are in what's called a circuit. So, you know, you may have three or four counties with only one district attorney for all three or four counties. But contact that individual. They are elected officials. They are responsive to the needs of the citizens. And so we can hold them accountable for the issue that law enforcement is doing to our state.
So what is the best way to keep up with you, or to reach out to get your services? How can our listeners make sure that we're staying involved and up to date on everything that is going on with the Cartersville 70 and what you are doing, Attorney Griggs? Tell us the best way to do that.
Okay. Well, the best way to do that is to follow me on all social media at Attorney Griggs. That's G-R-I-G-G-S. Or you can go to any digital platform and just type in the hashtag Cartersville70. And we continue to fill that hashtag with what's actually going on, because we're in a digital age. And so we want people to have access to the information instantaneously. You can go to my website, www.geraldagriggs.com, or you can go to the NAACP's website, NAACPGeorgia.org, or NAACPAtlanta.org, or the Georgia Alliance for Social Justice at the GAFSJ.org for the Georgia Alliance for Social Justice.
Okay. Thank you so much, Attorney Griggs, for joining us today. We really appreciate all the work that you do and continue to do in the social justice arena. And is there anything else that you'd like our listeners to know about you or about the movement and how they can help?
Just understand, we just came out of celebrating Dr. King's holiday and weekend. Dr. King is expecting us to move the ball forward and to pass the torch. And it's time. The time is now to get out of our silos, come together as one, and fight for the civil rights and the social rights and the human rights of all people to make America what we want America to be. So you don't have to be a civil rights lawyer. You don't have to be a civil rights activist. All you have to be is a citizen that's concerned, and you can get involved. We need you. There's a new movement. Please join a new movement.
Thank you, Attorney Gerald Griggs, for joining us on the Cannabis Connection World.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Attorney Griggs, for your relentless work to bring justice to our constituents. Up next is the Cannabis Connection Calendar. Welcome to Cannabis Connection Calendar, the segment where I share with you some of the events that are happening within the state of Georgia concerning the cannabis industry. Whether directly or indirectly, the events I discuss have an effect on Georgia's cannabis community. Please note that all events are normally free and open to everyone unless I otherwise specify. First up, tomorrow, Monday, January 29th at 5 p.m. in the Bartow County Civic Center, join us for a lively discussion on how we move forward after the Cartersville 70 sparked so much interest. Second, don't forget the monthly Minorities for Medical Marijuana Atlanta meeting will be 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Mango's Restaurant, located at 180 Auburn Avenue on Wednesday, January 31st. Come meet with fellow cannabis enthusiasts and learn how you can be a part of the movement. Lastly, on Thursday, February 1st, Peachtree Normal will host their legalization and lobby day at the state capitol. Join us for a rally and a day of lobbying beginning at 8 a.m. under the Golden Dome on Capitol Avenue, downtown Atlanta. If you have any questions about the events I listed today, please email me at info@cannabisconnectionworld.com. I'm so looking forward to connecting with you. Don't forget, Cannabis Connectors, you can follow all the adventures of the podcast on Instagram at Cannabis Connection Podcast or on Facebook at Mary Jane Connectors or on Twitter at CannaCon World. That's CannaCon World. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Cannabis Connection World. In the next episode, you will learn more about the fight for hemp legalization and how CBD products are imploding onto the market in cannabis class. I will interview the gubernatorial candidate, Senator Michael Williams, and get an understanding of what his views are on cannabis legalization. New episode every Sunday at 4:20 p.m. on Podomatic.com. You don't want to miss it.